We have a husband and wife at the same time. It's fantastic, and it's really fitting. Chris Snow, of course, is the assistant general manager of the Calgary Flames, and his wife Kelsey is a writer, and she writes on behalf of Chris, and sometimes about her own words at KelseyNowWrites.com. It's about their journey with dealing with ALS. Chris has been diagnosed with it, and I'll tell you, it's one of the most inspiring blogs I've ever read. Chris and Kelsey. Welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Good.
Thanks
for having us.
Thank you.
Awesome. Well, I guess, Chris, let's start with you on, and I know that, ALS, you know, runs in your family, unfortunately, with uncles and stuff. Can you take us back to our listeners who maybe don't know your story? When you first found out that you had ALS and how life has been for you since that original diagnosis?
Sure. I started to lose some feeling in my right hand April of a year ago, so more than a year and a half ago. And having lost my dad, two uncles, and a cousin to this, I knew that that was a real possibility. And yet this came to be a process of elimination diagnosis. And so I went through, I would say, 5 to 6 or 7 doctor's visits, MRIs, ultrasounds, all sorts of really cross off the list what it could be until a doctor looked in the eye and said, I think this is motor neuron disease. And those words are generally associated with a death sentence. And I was fortunate enough to enroll in a clinical trial, which I've now received my 20th dose for, once every 4 weeks. And aside from that right hand and forearm, which already withered, and some slight changes to my face and recently my voice, due largely to a early weak muscle in my nose and a little bit of swallowing, I am still very active, still coach both my kids, still work, still do all the things that I identify with being myself.
Chris, you know, you get that diagnosis. I mean, in some ways, you knew a lot about it prior to your personal diagnosis because there's so much in your family.
Yes.
You know, what kind of support, you know, I guess it's a little different than when you hear that it's on you rather than a cousin or a father. And how does that support kind of come together as a family?
Yeah, it was a family member, you know, my father, a cousin, an uncle. You think, you know, what can I do to spend time with them? And really, that's not much that you can do. It's all you can do is to call and to visit, and at the end of the day, you can't slow it down. You can't change what they're facing. And so in this case, the wonderful thing for me has been the support of my wife, the support of the medical community really across 2 countries as I enrolled in the trial in Canada, but have visited and leaned on researchers in the U.S. as well. And the ALS community, like those who have this, those who are lobbying for the government to dedicate more to research, it's a very, very small, tight group that is fighting this together.
Chris and Kelsey Snow joining us talking about their story. Of course, Chris Snow, assistant GM of the Flames, diagnosed with ALS last year. And Kelsey, you know what? I just want to say you're a fantastic writer. You and Chris, how you put your words together, his on paper and sometimes your own. It's amazing. It's really inspiring to read. And your first post about this story specifically kind of came back in, I think it was like a year ago when you started like your number one post. So kind of take us through that and what gives you the courage to share your journey publicly and how maybe, I don't know if that's a part of the dealing with it, or I don't know if healing's even the word to use, but how has that helped your family?
Yeah, well, I think we knew right away that our story would be, you know, very interesting to people, for better or for worse. We have this family history, and Chris has this platform that a lot of people who have this disease don't have. And despite, you know, the ALS, you know, the ice bucket challenge that came a few years ago, a lot of people still don't really understand ALS. And we decided right away that we would do everything we could as far as fundraising for research and sharing our story so that people, you know, had this real life example of people going through this that they could relate to. And, you know, when he was diagnosed, we said, we kind of thought about how we would share it publicly, and we ended up, you know, waiting some time. And then I wrote that, you know, story that, or that letter to our hockey family, which, you know, that's really what we feel hockey is. And we knew that our hockey family you know, whether it was the Flames or our minor hockey family here in Calgary would want to help us, as well as just our friends in the community. And I find it really helpful to write. I realized early on it was going to be really cathartic for me. And it also, for me, takes a little bit of pressure off when I see people I haven't seen for a while, or our family who, you know, we don't live anywhere near any of our family. We're both American, also permanent residents here in Canada. but it also takes some pressure off me when I write about how we're doing and what we're going through. I don't have to kind of repeat that over and over to people. They just kind of can go there and read it and they know. And, you know, I get a lot of messages from people now who have gone through similar things, who have ALS, who have family members who have ALS, or any other terminal illness or serious illness that they've dealt with. And, you know, it really means a lot to me that my words might be able to impact somebody or may help somebody say, yeah, that's how I feel. For me personally, I write for, you know, in part for a very selfish reason. Like it really helps me process things. And I was on a walk with one of my friends the other day and she was like, oh, your latest blog post, man, it really, and I was like, it really made you cry. And she was like, yeah, it really made me cry a lot. And I was like, yeah, it's funny because I send it out there into the world and, you know, everyone else has to process it. But by the time I've sent it out there in the world, that's when I feel the lightest.
Yeah, no, I can relate. I can relate to that. I read a story about my father passing away, and you know what? You kind of go through the crying portion when you're writing it, but sometimes tears can be a good thing. Like, you know, healthy tears. You let the emotion out, and you know, you guys have the experience because of Chris's family. So I don't know if you're ever expecting it or not, but maybe you're better suited to handle it a little bit. But Chris used the words earlier that are really like stopping your tracks when he says it's a life sentence. When you hear that, and I'm sure you both like I didn't know a lot about ALS until I watched the Gleason documentary, the former NFL player, and that was amazing to me. And so now like I can almost envision what Chris goes through it, and then you know you're Kelsey similar to Gleason's family. Like I really think sometimes when it's one person who has a disease, we kind of forget that it really impacts like your children and your spouse and everybody else. And just Chris, can you talk about like the Gleason one? Like I think that really put a face to ALS and you're doing that more with your wife, Kelsey. Just, I think people like, you know, not that they're ignorant, they just don't ever really got to see exactly what it means to have ALS.
Sure. So the Gleason you're referring to is Steve Gleason, and for the audience, he was a New Orleans Saints football player who actually is immortalized in a statue outside of the Superdome for blocking a punt in the first game back at the Hurricane Katrina. He was diagnosed 9 years ago and has not moved a muscle except for his eye muscles and a smile muscle in 8 years. And yet, he documented that, and he has become an incredible fundraiser with the Gleason Foundation in excess of $10 million toward helping people with the disease and research. And the neat thing, personally, is that Steve has become a friend of mine, Steve Epstein, the Cubs president of baseball operations, until today introduced us through a texting app that Steve uses. And he's given me a great deal of, I think, perspective on, though I am doing very well today, if I were to lose a lot of my capacity, there's still life after that. And he's got humor. He just brings real energy and perspective and calm to the disease and to what the disease can mean long term. And to your question, the job that his wife has done to weather this, to support him, to raise their son. In that documentary, you can see that she is at her breaking point at so many instances. And so what I've realized through that is that though this physically and mentally is really, really hard on me, I think that the burden, and one word I can come back to, the burden on a spouse and a concerned child is significant. And so I try to do, you know, what I call these early stages, is to alleviate that with humor, with activity, with being as normal a dad as I can be. And thankfully, with this clinical trial, I am quite normal to my children.
Chris, you know, you mentioned you're on the trial and you're doing all your duties that are with the Flames and as a family man and all that. But do you have to monitor your time? You know, we used to do X. Can you do now 70% of X, or is that just kind of a feel as you go?
No, I haven't. I'm really, really fortunate that way. I mean, COVID has certainly slowed down all of our kind of pace of life. Mm-hmm. But I have no lack of energy, no lack of strength in the good aspects of my body, which is most of them. And the only challenges have come in the way of, honestly, real recently last month, my swallowing and a bit of my speech. And doctors believe that this medicine, which has been checked into my low back, is just not quite reaching the highest nerves, which is the only way they can explain that my left arm, hand, and lower limbs are impeccable. My breathing is excellent. And so I think learning to manage really is my own positivity and emotions, and those were very, very easy until I saw a bit of progression over the summer and early fall in those areas I just mentioned. So, no, thankfully I am, I should not be here. I should not be here the last 5 months. And on a daily basis, my life is very, very much the way it was prior to my diagnosis.
Mm-hmm. Chris and Kelsey Snow join us on Edmonton Sports Leader TSN 1260. Chris, of course, assistant GM of the Calgary Flames, diagnosed with ALS. His wife, Kelsey, right by his side, and she has a fantastic blog. I recommend it. You know, especially now because a lot of people are frustrated dealing with COVID. I think this blog really can give you a sense of, you know what? Hey, there could be much worse things to deal with, and sometimes it's okay to cry when you're frustrated or scared or what have you. And Kelsey, during this, you know, the Calgary Flames organization, just the community of Calgary and Alberta, you know, how supportive have they been for you? And as a mom, can you talk about the conversations you and Chris have had to have with your young children to talk about daddy's illness?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, you know, I think, like I mentioned earlier, Chris and I aren't from here, but as we've gone through this, it's just really, you know, reinforced to me that Calgary is my home, and the people here and the way that they have you know, supported us and reached out to us is the reason why I can feel that way. And then as far as our kids, these are conversations that are always happening now. You know, for a really long time, Chris didn't really have anything affected other than his, you know, really right hand and forearm. And for the kids, Chris was so good at adapting to that. You know, he immediately started playing catch with our son left-handed, even though he is right-handed. And it's really hard to even tell that he is right-handed now. He's gotten so good at that. So it was really easy for our kids to not be aware of ALS on a daily basis. But in the last couple of months, with the changes to Chris's swallowing and the changes to Chris's voice, these are conversations that we have to have a lot more often. And, you know, I think the important thing is to have the same conversation, very similar to what you just said, with them, that we have with each other. Like, we have to let ourselves feel sad, and we have to feel sad that maybe daddy can't eat all the same things that daddy used to be able to eat. And it's okay to feel sad that daddy's voice is changing a little bit. You know, we tell them, they'll be very honest with them, that we're going to answer questions that they have. It's just important for them to make sure they're coming to us with their questions. And, you know, usually, you know, our kids are 9 and 6, and the 6-year-old is very matter of fact about it. You know, my daddy doesn't have a hand. My daddy's not like other daddies. My daddy only has one hand. Sometimes my daddy's voice sounds different. And she just says it very matter of factly and moves on. For our 9-year-old, it's a little bit, you know, he's starting to internalize things in a little bit more of a significant way. And those conversations become a little bit more complicated. You know, he's always aware of how his dad feels. And, you know, we are always aware of trying to make sure that, you know, he's doing okay. There's definitely a lot of therapy going on in our family. And we talk about our mental health on a daily basis. And our 9-year-old is taken to kind of, you know, asking me questions in bed at night once his very busy 9-year-old brain and body have settled down a little bit. And he'll say, Mom, I just have a question about ALS. And, you know, the other day he said, I know daddy's voice has changed a little bit. Will daddy someday talk with that cool computer like Steve Gleason does? And, you know, these are conversations that we have now, and they're hard conversations, but we are doing our best to normalize them. And one thing that really Steve and his family have given us is an example that life can be full and good and wonderful, and that Steve is very much up. He's himself. He's his same person. And that's a great example for our kids. So we aren't afraid to point those things out to them, to begin to normalize them. We've explained to them that we have done voice banking for Chris, so that they know that if Dad did lose his voice someday, he would speak with a cool computer like Steve Gleason, but it would be a digital version of Dad's voice. And we've explained that Dad records stories and things like that for them. And last night he actually played them a book that he read to them on the voice recorder, and they thought it was so cool. And I told them how we can go on the website where we did the voice banking and we can make Dad say anything, which to a 9 and a 6 year old involved a lot of things like farting. They thought that was hilarious. And, you know, I think anytime we can find a way to laugh about these things and they can just be a part of our everyday conversation, they don't have to feel so heavy. You know, hopefully those things help them. These are things that Chris and I can't relate to. We never had to think when we were 6 and 9 years old that our parents were anything but always going to be there, right? And so we're doing our best with it, but it's certainly a learn as you go.
Kelsey, in what ways have people supported you as the partner that have really been helpful?
Oh, well, you know, I have hard days and I'm not afraid to tell people anymore that I'm having a hard day. So I've had days where I'm supposed to, you know, have a walk with a friend or whatever, and I cancel it. And then I open the door, you know, a bit later and there's a coffee on my doorstep. You know, definitely things like that are helpful. When we were going to Toronto, we had tons of friends who watched our kids overnight. I mean, we don't have any parents here, and we had never been away from our kids for more than like one period of 24 hours in the entire time we've been parents. And all of a sudden we had to go for 3 nights to Toronto every month. And so we shuttled our kids all around to different places while we were going to Toronto. And our friends were so helpful in that way. They stayed very often with Craig and Jesse Conroy, which they loved. Cohen played NHL 19 on the PlayStation with Craig all the time. And Willa played with the Conroy girls and got her hair braided beautifully. And then they stayed with neighborhood friends and school friends and hockey friends. And we have people picking them up and taking them to dance and taking them to gymnastics and taking them to hockey for us. So you really are aware of our community. One of the sweetest things that somebody has asked me was, I got a text from a friend last year, not very long after we had told everybody. And she said, "We'd just like you to know that we could hang your Christmas lights for you." And I wrote her back and was like, "That's very sweet of you, but I am the Christmas light hanger in the family, so we're good." So we didn't need any help there. But things like that that show you that people are thinking of you in, you know, a different way. The other day we were having some dinner with friends. They were our cohort before COVID got crazy again. And our friend handed Chris his plate with his food already all cut up. Like things like that that mean a lot to us, because it just lets you know that people are really thinking of you in a different sort of way.
Chris and Kelsey Snow join us on Edmonton Sports Leader TSN 1260, talking about Chris, of course, assistant GM of the Flames, being diagnosed with ALS. And Chris, this year, you know, everything was upside down. You end up being in the bubble. And then, of course, there was the NHL draft that you got, of course, as assistant GM, you're a part of. Can you talk about just, you know, keeping the normalcy of being an assistant GM during this time?
Sure. I think I'm very fortunate that, Roger Loving and group we have, and our president John Mina said, "Do what you need to do from wherever you need to do it." And so, a great deal of the work, be it a contract negotiation, even the draft preparation, can be done from home. Now, the weeks leading into the draft and free agency, those 6 weeks or so, we were in there every single day, and it's important to talk and look at each other face to face. But the support I've had from Brad has been extraordinary, because I don't have to worry about anything with respect to should I be in the office, should I be doing this. He knows me, he knows how I work, and he trusts me. And so it's been a great thing that I've worked with him for 6 years, because we have a friendship. It's not just a boss-employee relationship.
And I guess that'd be really nice to know you have that support, in there, and that the guys understand, and your all your coworkers know how much what you're going through and what it means together. You know, have you had some good conversation with them as far as maybe stuff that they're going through?
Yeah, it does. I've always said this, at least over the last year and a half. You cut right past the you know, the talk about the weather. You know, you have better FIFA relationships. You talk about family. You talk about things that are real much more often and much quicker. And I even found that in conversations with agents. The last winter and fall, I was working on Rasmus Anderson's extension, and I didn't know Claude Lemieux, his agent, at all. And the first hour was him talking about my diagnosis, because this turned up right about the time I announced it. And he was always curious, supportive, encouraging. And so I felt like after one or two phone calls, I knew Claude as if I'd had a 1 or 2 year relationship with him. So I think that, you know, when you're an open book like I am and like our family is, it just tells you, okay, this is someone who is in touch with his feelings, in touch with what's important, and we can go there a lot quicker.
Chris and Kelsey, thank you so much for joining us, allowing us to get a little bit of an understanding, talk about ALS and, you know, support you. And once again, I really encourage everyone to follow their story, KelseySnowWrites.com. I put it out on our Twitter page. Connor's going to put it up on our Facebook page. I think if you're having a bad day, you go read that. It'll change your perspective on what truly matters in life. You guys are an inspiration. I'm happy that the Calgary community has supported you as well, and you've given them as much by the sounds of it from people I've talked to there as they've given to you. So continuing on with it, with your fight, Chris, you're very inspiring. And Kelsey, thanks for being a great supportive spouse to him and to your kids, and we really appreciate your time.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.